Miss Caitlin. All right, we're going to be in Acts chapter number 23, but we're only going to be there just for a moment, and then we're going to be in Philippians chapter number 1. And if you will, take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter number 23. Acts chapter number 23, and my Sunday school class, if you were in it, then you're very familiar with this passage of Scripture as we have been in it for the last 2 weeks. But we'll touch on a verse that we touched on this past Sunday, and then we'll take off from that verse and head over to the book of Philippians, all right? So, amen. Everybody in Acts chapter number 23? Praise the Lord. All right, I'm going to read one verse out of Acts chapter number 23. All right, and that's going to be verse number 11. So we'll be in verse number 11 of Acts chapter number 23. And the Bible says, "In the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul. For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." All right, just get us caught up and get us to speed here. Paul has gone to Jerusalem and he has been taken as a prisoner. He has been taken as a prisoner because the mob come up against Paul there in Jerusalem with the intentions of killing him, and the Roman soldiers, to keep from having a riot in the city, which they were over and they were controlling, they went out and they took Paul as a prisoner. Here before this takes place, they were going to scourge Paul. And Paul let them know that he was a citizen of Rome. He was a Roman citizen, and therefore, because he was a Roman citizen and he was uncondemned, meaning that he was innocent and had not been proven guilty of those things that he was charged of, he could not be scourged. And so immediately following that, the Roman soldiers purposed to let him go, but brought him before the council of the Jewish religious leaders, and he brought Paul before them to find out just exactly what they were accusing him of and whether or not he was guilty. And Paul, he's pretty good at this stuff, and so he kind of got out of that here and there. But Paul was confronted at one point by the high priest, and the high priest told somebody, instructed somebody to smite him or to punch him. And Paul called him a name. He called him a whited wall, all right? Yeah, thou whited wall, all right? Somebody help me right there. And we learned in our Sunday school class of that whited wall, basically what Paul was telling him was, you're a facade. You have a white face, a face of holiness, if you will, but you're nothing more than a whited wall. It's corruption behind it. You may look holy, but you're corrupt behind it. And he rebuked him. He said, "You judge me according to the law, and then break the law in having someone smite me." And so Paul was pretty rough with the old man, I reckon you'd say. And because of it, the people got very upset about it, to the point that the Roman soldiers had to take Paul again. Now this verse, verse number 11, takes place after all of this, and it takes place when Paul is sitting in a prison. Now, Paul was no stranger to prisons. We can go back in Acts chapter number 16, and we know that Paul and Silas was put in prison. We sing songs about them singing and praying in the jailbreak. There was an earthquake in the jail. You'll remember the jailer got saved through all of it. So Paul was not, this wasn't his first rodeo in a jail. And Paul knew that God was very capable of delivering him from the jail. The earthquake at midnight when they sang praises unto the Lord, it unlocked all of the prison. A matter of fact, if Paul and Silas would have wanted to walk out, they could have. Paul had a precedent. I mean, he could go back to Peter and see where Peter was kept by four quaternions of soldiers, and he got up and got out of the prison. So it wouldn't be the first time that there was a jailbreak in the church. Kind of get a witness right there. All right, so Paul, who knows what he expected, but we do know right here in verse number 11 that God showed up. The Bible says the Lord himself stood by him. We talked about it in Sunday school, and I'm going to bring it out here because I think it's very relevant that we understand this, that God could have delivered Paul. But the warning here in verse number 11 says that God stood by Paul. In other words, this prison wasn't meant to be left. All right? This prison was not meant to be escaped from. This prison was not meant that Paul would get up and leave from it. So I got the thought of this. What happens? What if prison is the plan all along? What if the prison that you and I are in is the plan all along? I wrote something down in my Bible and shared it with my Sunday school class. I said this: we often demand to be delivered from our circumstances when God is interested in using us in our circumstances. Many times, how many of us has gotten that? How many of us, let's just be honest for a moment, have been caught up in our prayers asking God to deliver us from something that was meant for us all along? God doesn't necessarily want to deliver us from our circumstances. Sometimes he wants to use us in our circumstances. The prison wasn't to be delivered from. The prison was to be used for the furtherance of the gospel. And so Paul sat in this prison. No doubt he was discouraged. I need somebody to help me right here. When you are in prison, whatever it may be, I ain't talking about a physical jail, all right? So everybody get that out of their mind, all right? Hey, some of us sitting here saying, well, I ain't never been in prison before. Well, I'm glad that you have. But when we look at it in the realm of spiritual, and we know that every one of us have been in prison spiritually. We've been in bondage to whatever. We may have been in bondage to bad decisions that we made. We may have been in bondage to regret that you and I had. We look at Paul and Paul's life. I mentioned some of the things that happened, but some of the things that I didn't mention here is that Paul used his imprisonment before this verse to share his testimony, with all of Jerusalem. So he had a multitude, a mob out there, and he asked the soldier, he said, hey, would you give me a minute and let me speak? And instead of getting up there and defending himself, because he was innocent of what they were accusing him of, he used it as an opportunity to preach the gospel to them through his testimony. But yet, there was no converts. Nobody got saved. They all got mad and still wanted to kill him. Kind of sounded like Jesus, same mob, right? And by the way, it was the same mob. That was after Paul, that was after Jesus. Is everybody with me? Then I told you, I did share this with you, that he had corrected the on another opportunity for him to minister. He corrected, rebuked. Let me just put it that way. Let me say not say corrected. He rebuked the high priest. And because he did so, he lost an opportunity to witness any further to the people. Now, why did I say all that? I said all that because Paul's sitting in a prison with the thought that I've poured my heart out and I preached as much as I possibly can in the right spirit and tried to give the gospel and nobody received it. Then he's sitting in the prison also thinking about, I messed up when I started calling the high priest names and I offended everybody that was in the crowd, and now I'll never have another opportunity to reach them. He was in prison, not just physically, but mentally. Say, how do you know that? Because the first thing God said to him was, hey, Paul, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. He didn't come to him. I need somebody to help me right here. He didn't come to him and say, Paul, you messed up, boy. Yeah, I don't know what you was thinking, but you shouldn't have been calling people names from the pulpit. Yeah, Paul, you messed up. You offended some people, Paul. Paul, I even though you preached a great message, Paul, you're ineffective and nobody's getting saved. No. Very first thing out of the Lord's mouth was, be of good cheer, Paul. Hey, another word, Paul, get your head up. Don't be discouraged, Paul. Now listen to this. Then he tells him this. For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, You're going to do the same thing in Rome. Don't miss that. Because Paul could have sat there in prison and thought, man, I sure messed up. Nobody got saved, and I offended the whole crowd that I was talking to. But Jesus said, hey, be of good cheer. The same way you've testified of me here in Jerusalem, you're going to do the same thing in Rome. In other words, Paul, you did a good job. Amen. And Paul, I got something else for you. Somebody all right? Everybody with me? All right, so we know from this verse and we know from the circumstances surrounding it, Paul never gets out of prison. From here on, Paul's out of prison. God chooses not to deliver Paul from prison. So from here on, Paul is in bondage. All right, so let's go over to Philippians chapter number 1. Is everybody with me? Amen. Philippians chapter number 1. Now, while Paul was in prison, I'm just going to say this and we'll get back to it here sometime during the preaching tonight. But while Paul was in prison, he wrote 4 epistles. He wrote to the church at Ephesus. He wrote to the church at Colossae. He wrote to the church at Philippi. And then he wrote to his friend Philemon. All right? We call these the prison epistles. Okay? These books were written while Paul was in prison. So, Paul is in bondage. It was the plan all along. What I want to look at tonight is in Philippians chapter number 1, in a few verses, we're going to start reading in verse number 12, I believe it is. We'll begin our reading in verse number 12. And we are going to look at principles that Paul lived by while he was in prison. And I want to say this to every one of us. We can live by those same principles when we are in a prison that God will not deliver us from. Is everybody all right? How many of you know what I'm talking about when I say a prison that the Lord won't deliver you from? I think back to Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 9 where he said, I prayed thrice for God to remove this thorn. And he said, my grace is sufficient. That was a prison that Paul had to continue to bear. Is everybody seeing what I'm saying now? All right, so let's take a look at it and see. I'm going to tell y'all this. I did my best to alliterate this and lost way too much sleep and time over it, all right? So you're getting what you get, all right? Is everybody all right? Philippians chapter number 1, if you're there, say amen. Amen. Verse number 12. But I would, you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. All right, we're going to stop our reading right there. We're going to take a look at 4 principles that I believe Paul lived by that's right here in this scripture that you and I can live by in our own personal prisons. All right, everybody ready? Number one, he embraced his present circumstances. He embraced his present circumstances. What I'm trying to say right here is Paul embraced the fact that he was in prison and he wasn't getting out. Too many of us, we get so upset by the thought that God would put us in prison and not let us out. I need somebody to help me right here. We look at others and we look at stuff in the Bible. We look at Peter's life. We look at Paul and Silas and we say, wait a minute, they were in prison and they got deliverance. How come I ain't gonna get deliverance? And we focus on that and we miss out on the fact that the prison was the purpose of God wanted us there so he could minister in a certain way that we couldn't minister if we were out. And with Paul, we find out Paul was able to reach the palace from the prison, but he would have never reached the palace from the street or from the pulpit. Is everybody all right? So Paul reached the palace from the prison, but where he would have never reached the palace from the pulpit. And you have to understand that sometimes the purpose that God has for your life requires the prison that you're having to live in. And if you refuse to accept that, then you are going to live a life of regret, because someday you're going to sit back and think, man, I missed out on a lot of opportunities to do for God. And we're going to live a life, and I'm going to touch on this in a minute, of bitterness. Because we think we're entitled to something better than prison. Is everybody all right? He embraced his present circumstances. In verse number 12, he said, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." He said, what's happened to me in the prison that I am in is for the furtherance of the gospel. In verse number 20 and 21 of this same chapter, he says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be my life or by death, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul accepted his circumstances. He said, God, if you want me in a prison, then Lord, I'll serve you in a prison. Lord, if you deliver me from the prison, then hallelujah, I'll run a lap and I'll get excited about my deliverance from the prison. But when I'm in the prison, I'm going to serve you. Amen. He accepted his present circumstances. In Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 11, Paul teaches us, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things in my prison through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Is everybody all right? Y'all do know I added that in that verse, all right? I thought I mentioned that because some of y'all don't know the verse very well anyhow, because you use it out of context all the time. Paul said, I can do all things in Christ. I can do all things, according to the Bible here, through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Paul said, I've learned that whether I'm in the prison or whether I'm running the streets, therewith to be content. So the first principle that he lived by is he embraced his present circumstances. So the question to us tonight is, are you in a prison? And if you are, have you embraced the fact that God has a purpose for you in the prison? Number two, is everybody all right? Number two, the second principle I believe Paul lived by was this. He refused to disengage in ministry. He refused to disengage in ministry. In other words, Paul did the work of the Lord while he was in prison. Many today, as soon as they're in prison and it don't work out the way that they want it to be, they gone. Yeah, I'm talking about right out the door, find another church, find somewhere else to go, don't even go back to church, whatever the case may be. They completely disengage in the ministry completely. Now, I don't understand that. If you were called to something to begin with, I don't understand. I need somebody to help me. maybe it's just a preacher thing, but when I'm called, I look at it this way. People ask me, what's my retirement? My retirement is preaching the gospel. And there may come a day where I can't do that anymore. And Michelle's going to have to work then. But until that day that I can't go anymore, I'm called to do one thing. And that's preach. That's ministry. That's what I'm called to do. Until this mouth won't speak anymore. Until my feet won't move anymore. Until my hand, until I can't go anymore, the ministry that God has called me to do, I will do my dead level best to perform it. He refused to disengage in ministry. Do you know that while Paul was in prison, Paul preached the gospel? He preached the gospel while he was in prison. Say, preacher, how do you know that? Listen to Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 22. He says this, all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. Paul said, hey, I got some converts here with me. They live in the palace. They ride out of Caesar's household. Oh, Nero may not listen to me, but I got the ear of his family. Y'all ain't hear me. He used his prison for the furtherance of the gospel. And he lets the church at Philippi know that because he continued in the ministry, because he did not disengage in the ministry, those that were surrounding him at the palace, those that were with him in the prison guard, they were getting saved. Why? Because he preached. He testified. How do you testify? Because God told him to. And Paul wasn't the type that didn't do what God... he wouldn't refuse to do what God told him to do. And God said, as you testify to me in Jerusalem, you must do in Rome. That's what he did. So we know he preached. We know he testified. He pastored. He pastored. Do you know the church at Ephesus, Colossae, Philippi, and the book that is written to his friend Philemon, and every one of those, he is helping to pastor the church that he started? These churches were started on his second missionary journey, and he is writing to them from the prison, continuing to do the ministry that God had gave him to do, even though he was in jail, even though God wouldn't deliver him. He continued to preach. He continued to testify. He continued to pastor. He encouraged others. 16 times in 104 verses in the book of Philippians, he told the church at Philippi to have joy or to rejoice. In prison, Paul's message is, have joy. Paul's message was, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, rejoice. Is everybody all right? Seems like an odd message from the prison cell. Seems like an odd message when you're shackled up. Seems like an odd message when God ain't delivered you. Act like you think you were supposed to be delivered. He encouraged others. He inspired others. He told us that in verse number 14, I believe it was. And many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confident by my bonds. He inspired others. Why he was in prison. Why? Because he refused to disengage in ministry. Do you realize that your testimony in prison will go farther than your praise in the streets? He reunited others while he was in prison. Oh, Philemon, he had this guy named Onesiphorus. Man, I'm telling you what, he had messed up. He said, listen here, I want you to take old back in. He made some mistakes, but I want you to look after him. Is everybody all right? He reunited people while he was in prison. And then he wrote, I've already mentioned the four books that he wrote while he was in prison. So Paul, first principle of Paul's life in prison was he embraced his present circumstances. Number two, he refused to disengage in ministry. Number three, he rejected the seed of bitterness. He rejected the seed of bitterness. I've already mentioned this. I already mentioned bitterness before, because it's real easy for us to get bitter in prison. When we are in our personal prison and we're watching everybody else run free, it's real easy to become bitter. Is everybody all right? I mean, if anybody had a reason to become bitter, I think it was Paul. Let's just talk about it. Paul's one of the greatest Christians. I mean, God used him to write half of the New Testament that you and I hold in our hands. So why is it that God allowed him to be in prison and all these suckers out there that's preaching the gospel according to him? Where did he say it here in verse number 16? Verse number 15. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife. Verse 16. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely. It would have been very easy for Paul to be bitter in prison, because he's sitting there and people that are misusing the gospel are out free. Y'all got to help me. How many times we find ourselves bitter when we're looking out and saying, man, I wish I was able to do that. I wish the Lord had let me do that. Why has the Lord got me in here? I was the one that went out on that missionary trip. I was the one that walked all them miles. I was the one that started all them churches. I was the one that sacrificed and gave up all this time to disciple and to do all these things. Why is it that I'm having to sit in prison? And people with bad intentions, people with bad attitudes are out there getting to run around free. Y'all help. Y'all got to help me tonight. It's easy to get bitter when you're in your personal prison. But Paul rejected it. Paul wouldn't allow himself to be bitter in his prison. So how do you know that, preacher? I'm glad you asked. So in verse number 15, the Bible says, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. Verse 16, the one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. He said, man, they trying to hurt me, and I'm already in prison. All right, is everybody getting this? Verse number 17, but the other of love. There is a group that's preaching of love, all right? Knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. He said, there's a crowd out there that's envious of me, and they want my ministry. They want their ministry to be bigger than mine. There's a crowd out there of contention. They preach it, and they're trying to add affliction to my bonds. And he said, bless God, there's a crowd out there that loves me. There's a crowd out there that loves what they're doing. They got the right intentions, and they're preaching the gospel. And then he said this, in both cases, the gospel's being preached. And he says, in that I rejoice. I wonder how many of us that have the prayer, now God, I want you to kill this group. Just deal with them, God. I mean, if you zap them dead, it'll be all right. Call down fire from heaven, Lord, in Jesus' name. Zap! And be done with it. But you can save these old boys right here, because they like me. You can hang on. Come on, y'all, help me now. It's easy to get bitter, but Paul said, hey, whether they're trashing me or whether they're loving me, the gospel is being furthered. He rejected the seed of bitterness. Preacher, I don't know why I'm having to go through this. I don't know why I can't have that kind of relationship with my wife. I don't know why I can't, I don't know why I'm always struggling to keep a job or struggling to pay my bills. I don't understand. having to go through this again. God, I don't understand. And we go on, you can go on and on and on. And that seed of bitterness is just planted in there. And sooner or later, how many of y'all know about a seed? Sooner or later, that thing's gonna pop up. We purchased a piece of property, me and Miss Michelle did, and months ago, and we bought 18 acres and out in Clyteville, close to the river. And anyhow, it had a bunch of pine trees on it. These pine trees, it was thick. So me and Mr. Shell, we wanted to build a house, and so we went in there. I had all these ideas of how I wanted it to look. I want that plantation cut look, you know, where you look out there and you see just a big old pine tree here, a big old pine tree there, and just grass all underneath it and all. So, man, I had all these ideas, and, man, we called a logger and I got him out there, a forester, and we got to talking, and he was saying, hey, look, this is how it needs to be done. We're going to come in here and we're going to thin this out, and we're just going to do it every third row. We're going to thin it out. He said, and after 5 years, we'll come back in and we'll cut it again. He said, preacher, I'm telling you, after that first year, and he said, them trees are going to just, they're going to explode. It's going to blow your mind how big them trees are going to get. Like, okay, man, sounds good. You know what you're doing. He said, we can't just go to a plantation cut right now because if we do, the trees ain't quite big enough. He said, you'll end up with bent over trees and all this other stuff from the wind. And he said, we don't want that. They got some protection. He was going over all of them. Yes, sir. Praise the Lord. All right. So we cut. Had some problems. We had some weeds that come up all over the place. I mean, it was crazy. Them things were like this high, and they had a yellow flower on them, and I ain't never seen them before. They wasn't there before we cut. We had a little problem. We got some beetles in our, I'm getting somewhere, I promise you. We had some beetles in our pine tree, so we had to call him back out there. He come back out there and looked at it, and we're going to end up having to clear cut the whole thing, and it just, we got beetles. So anyhow, in some of the trees. While we were standing out there, we was looking at them plants. And he called the name of the plant. I don't remember what it was. He said, man, that plant right there, he said, it'll kill a cow. Like, okay. He said, yeah. I said, where do they all come from? It's crazy. It's everywhere. He said, man, let me tell you. He said, them seeds were in the ground the whole time. He said, for years. He said, from the time them trees was planted, them seeds were in the ground. And he said, and what happened was them trees had grown up and they kept that sunlight from getting to that seed. And he said, as soon as we went in there with them tractors and we cut out them rows and we thinned this thing out the way that we did and we turned up that ground a little bit, he said, a little bit of rain come, a little bit of sun come down. He said, all them seeds that had been laying there dormant for all them years sprung up. And he said, if a cow eats enough of them things, he'll die. Them things will kill a cow. He said, preacher, I don't know about you, but I think that'd be a good sermon. I said, you have no idea. The seed of bitterness is just like that. It lays dormant. We cover it up and nobody sees it. But as soon as a little turmoil comes in our life, the right amount of sun, the right amount of water, the right amount of circumstances, the right amount of words hit it, boom, it comes up. And if you're not careful, those that are around it, if they go to eating on it, if they go to getting around it and ingesting it, it'll cause others to die. Oh. Whoop. Is everybody all right? He rejected the seed of bitterness. Paul said, I may be in prison, and people may be talking about me, and people may be loving me. He said, but if God's being honored and glorified and magnified and all of it, then I'm for both of them. He lived by the principle. He embraced his present circumstances. He refused to disengage in ministry. He rejected the seed of bitterness. And lastly, he rejoiced in the victory of others. He rejoiced in the victories of others. Now, we seen that when we were talking about him rejecting bitterness, but we didn't put an emphasis on that, so we're going to put an emphasis on it now. He rejoiced in their victories. Though their intentions might not have been good, he rejoiced in their victories. Though they might not could have preached as good as him, he rejoiced in their victories. Though they might not have done it just the way he would have done it, he rejoiced in their victories. See, if we get to a place of bitterness and we lose our joy, right, then we're not inspiring anybody. Paul learned how or kept the principle of rejoicing for others in their victories. And I'm going to tell you something, that's one of the hardest things for a Christian to do too. Because we have a me mentality. And as long as I'm being promoted, hallelujah. And as long as you're coming with me and you're not ahead of me, you're doing good. Right? But just as soon as they're ahead of me and I'm looking, I'm trying to catch up, then all of a sudden, and we see it in ministry. I'm sure you see it on a job site. They can do nothing right. And we tend to spend our time trying to tear down what God is using in them. Paul rejoiced in the victories of others. And while writing in prison, 16 times and 104 verses that he wrote to the church at Philippi, he said, rejoice. Have joy. Put Philippians 4:4 up there, if you will, Miss Carrie. Philippians 4:4. Paul, in the last chapter of the book that he would write to the church at Philippi, says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Whether it's in the prison or whether it's running around with an American flag, an American bandana on, with an AR-15 hollering America, in your freedom or in your prison, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, I pray that you take tonight's message, Lord. I don't know, maybe there's somebody here tonight that is in prison. Lord, not physical prison, but Lord, they're living in the prison of a bad decision, the prison of a choice that was made that possibly has haunted them. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we take these four principles, simple, but Lord, I pray that we take these four principles and apply them to our life as Paul did to his. Lord, I pray that we learn to embrace where we are and what sort of a state we're in, Lord, to learn to be content. Lord, I pray that we'd refuse to disengage in ministry as though it's so easy and the devil is tempting us and encouraging us to forsake you and to leave you over all of it. Lord, I pray. And Lord, we refuse to disengage. But Lord, if anything, we'd up our commitment to you, Lord. Lord, I pray that we'd reject the seed of bitterness, Lord, that comes so often into the lives of those that are in prison. Lord, as we sit and wonder why this has to happen to us, why it didn't happen to somebody else who was so much worse than we were. Oh God, let us reject those thoughts. Keep bitterness out of our life. Keep that seed out of our life. Lord, that we not harm others, and Lord, that ultimately we not harm ourselves. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that we learn to rejoice, Lord, in the victories that others have. have. Lord, not just our victories, but Lord, may we look at it through your eyes. And Lord, the furtherance of the gospel, Lord, the preaching of Christ, the magnification of the Lord, Lord, I pray that we would see those things beyond the people. And Lord, that we would rejoice in others' victories. God, we thank you for church tonight. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would bless us as we go our separate ways. Bring us back safely Sunday morning. And Lord, we'll be sure to give you all the honor, the glory, and all the praise for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for coming tonight. Be careful getting out of here. Watch out for youngins. And Lord willing, we'll see y'all Sunday morning.